Today's daf in the Sechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Beis. We are holding at the Halakha Mishnah on the bottom of Ayin Aleph Omud Beit. So now that we've finished the various dinim of the Ben Sorer Umore, we have to come to an understanding of some of the implications of the fact that we're actually going to be Mekayim a din of Misa Bestila on a child because he ate some meat. I mean, what the heck is that all about? So we touched on that a little bit yesterday. We were talking about the possibilities of a Ben Sorer Umore, but let's talk about the implications in general. So today's Mishnah begins with pointing out that a Ben Sorer Umore nidon al shem sofo, yamut zakai v'al yamut chayav. The whole point over here is that, as we said before, we would have even thought that this would be applicable to a katan, because he's nidon al shem sofo. He's not nidon al shem achet. The whole point is that the Torah says it's best that he would die while he is still an innocent, full person, instead of destroying himself, because in general, what we need to understand is that mitatam shel reshaim hana'a lahem v'hana'a l'olam. It's a wonderful thing when people who are damaging to the world and damaging to themselves, when they die, it's very good for everyone. It's good for them because it gives them less of an opportunity to destroy themselves. It's good for the world because it gives them less of an opportunity to destroy society and to hurt others. And therefore, looking at it from the perspective, a global perspective of life in general, the journey of life, it's actually, as we know, through all of the history of evolution, you can't sit and bemoan the species that have gone actually extinct. The fact is that the development of life in general is based on exactly that type of built-in death, which we're programmed for, in order to be able to have life in general be successful. Therefore, you need to look at this from that perspective. If the tzaddikim, however, mitatam shel tzaddikim, that's ra lahem v'ra la'olam. That's a disaster, because their life every day is worth something more. Every moment is worth something more. Gives them an opportunity to do more mitzvahs, to do more chesed, to help the world out, and therefore it's damaging for the world as well. Now, of course, this is something that we need to understand is not a general principle in terms of its application in a particular case. Remember, we said that the Ben Sorer Umore never happened and never will happen. It's always important to understand the difference between the Torah's teaching us of overall perspectives and the way that we need to appreciate things as they are, but that doesn't mean that we translate them into action in terms of our personal or even our social present state. So it's important to distinguish between this. And, I mean, if you take into consideration, for instance, the fact that when Yishmael was about to die as a child, and the Malachi Asharis were saying, that's great, get him out of the hell of a world. I mean, this is ridiculous. Look how much Tsoros he's going to be causing. You know, if we could have gotten rid of him then, we could have gotten rid of Hamas. Now we would have saved 100,000 lives. I mean, like what? Why don't you let him go? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Malachim. Right now, how is he? Is he a tzaddik or is he a rasha? I mean, what kind of question is that? The Malachim should have said, well, what about the din of Ben Sorer Umore? I mean, you say we should get rid of Ben Sorer Umore. Isn't this the absolute max in terms of Ben Sorer Umore? I mean, this is super Ben Sorer Umore. So how come HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't let us, the Malachim, get rid of Yishmael? Instead, he saves him by sending him water. Good heavens. Okay, things are more complicated than they seem, huh? Anyway, yayin v'sheina l'rishaim. And this idea, which we already touched on yesterday, the idea of having, you know, wine can be a very good thing, and it could be very detrimental too. So wine and sleep for people who are rishaim, that's great. Get them all of the scotch that they want. Let them sit away their lives in stupor. Let them actually sleep away their lives. Get them more and more TV. You're more likely to save the society by having these people in a TV stupor and let that finish them off. That's how Na'ala him, Va'ana'ala Olam is good for them. Gives them less opportunity to make trouble for themselves and less opportunity to make trouble for the world. U'tzadikim, Ra'alahem V'ra'ala Olam. Pizur L'Rasha'im. And getting them scattered instead of allowing them to make demonstrations and to get together and to be mechazik each other and to destroy the world, getting them mifuzar, and to get, scatter them across the globe, maybe across the galaxy, is good for them. Hana'a lahen, v'hana'a la'olam. But with tzaddikim, ra'lahem v'ra'la olam, the more that we're able to bring tzaddikim together, obviously, it would be kinus with tzaddikim, as we'll see, is wonderful. Kinus with rishayim. However, getting rishayim together in all one spot, it's a mob rishayim. Ra'lahem v'ra'la olam, whereas with tzaddikim, ana'alahem v'ana'ala olam. Same thing is true of sheket. When you've got peace and tranquility for people who use peace and tranquility to create alternative realities and destroy everyone else's society, it's a disaster. Better throw them into the front lines. So that's bad for them, bad for the world. But tzaddikim, but having peace and tranquility for tzaddikim, giving them more opportunity, as the Rambam describes, and why is it that we want so much Yimot HaMashiach and the ability to just be left alone in order to make the world a better place, that is, and of course make ourselves a better place, which is the same, Hana'a lahem, Hana'a le'olam. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, isn't it absurd that a child eats a tartemar basar, drinks a chatzilug yayin ha'itaki, and you're telling me the Torah seriously tells us that we're supposed to go and to stone him to death? I mean, he didn't do anything wrong. Ella, what is there for the whole point here? Higia Torah l'sov da'ato shel ben sorer u'moreh. The point is that the Torah is coming to teach us what addiction does and the unlikelihood, the statistical unlikelihood that anything good could possibly come from such a life, and therefore teaches us that eventually, once he started on this path, sofo shemigamer nechsei aviv, he's going to actually bankrupt his parents, mevakesh limudo, he needs desperately whatever lifestyle he's addicted to, ino motzei, and Yotze Bapashas Drachim Amalaste Mesabrios, he's going to go out and rob people, and in the end, murder. Amra Torah, and therefore the Torah teaches us, Yamut Zakai Va'al Yamut Chayav, it's better for him to die while he still has a chance for life in Elam Haba. Shemitatam Sharishaim Ana'alahem Va'ana'ala Olam, Vilat Tzadikim Ra'alahem V'ra'ala Olam. And once we've already mentioned that, the Braisa already fills out the other inyanim that the Mishnah raised. Shinav, yayin l'rishayim, TV, sleep, wine is great for rishayim. It's ana'alahem v'ana'ala olam, but l'tzadikim ra'alahem v'ra'ala olam. Sheket l'rishayim, ra'alahem v'ra'ala olam. L'tzadikim ana'alahem v'ana'ala olam. Pizur l'rishayim ana'alahem v'ana'ala olam. V'l'tzadikim ra'alahem v'ra'ala olam. Sheket. I explained sheket as I did. Peace and tranquility. Having a mind that doesn't have to worry about anything and that is able to concentrate on Torah and making the world a better place.
No challenges.
No challenges? I'm not sure that no challenges is, that's more like Shena. Sheket means that there's no need to overcome challenges to the detriment of learning and to the detriment of Hatova and to be involved in court cases and to have to go to different lawyers and to be arguing with your employers and stuff like that and wasting your life.
Able to operate freely.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, we're ready now for Sir Richard, I think. All ready. Oh my gosh, he's missing his cues here. Oh boy, I don't know. Doc is waiting as you're moving over slowly. You better hurry. Oh my gosh. So, we're led, interestingly enough, from Ben Sorer u'Moreh to another case where we are actually taking a stand on how things are going to work out. And based on how they're going to work out statistically, we allow you to apply the din. And what would that case be? Well, we have an interesting pasuk that teaches us, and which, of course, we're just being Isaac in, im b'machteret yimatzei haganav u'ukav v'meit, im lo damim. So if you have a burglar who's trying to break into your house by having tunneled in, and kol sheket, if he's trying to break into your country by tunneling in, you can actually be magdim, and instead of waiting to be hurt by the tunneler, you get rid of the tunneler first. That's pretty fundamental to the Torah. And therefore, kinus l'rishoyim actually gets people to forget that simple point too. So if you have a baba machteret, you've got this burglar who's coming in through a, as the Gemara is going to point out later, through a conscious and planned effort to do what needs to be done to get into your house and take your things. And that is the reason, as we'll see, that he doesn't need hatra'ah, because when it comes to hatra'ah, if we know that the person is dedicated, committed, and has planned this out, you can be certain that he knows exactly what he's doing. So if he's a baba machteret, nidon al shem sofo. I have a trouble sometimes with non-English English, so sorry, I can't respond quickly.
Well, is this about a senior education system? The kids are being educated to kill, so they
It's that type of thing, yes. So, Ababa Machteret. So, somebody's on his way in. Nidon al shem sofo. The terrorist says you can kill him based on the likelihood that he is ready to kill you. Now, because of that, it's very interesting that he has a din as if we could apply kim lebed rabamine, because since the Torah has been mafkir his dam, ein lo damim. So if that's the case, we view him as having lost his life. That is to say, he's in a din, which will be enough for him to lose his life. And therefore, if at the same time he breaks your TV as he's breaking into your house, if he is actually im yesh lo damim, if it's in a type of situation where you would not be allowed to kill him, which we're going to be discussing, and we assume that statistically he will not kill you, so then he would be chayef for breaking your TV. But im ein lo damim, if, however, you're allowed to kill him, then he would be pater because of the overall idea of kimle b'rabamine. We always put the most chomer chiyav in it. So whatever is more severe, and obviously his potential death is more severe than having to pay cash for a broken TV, that is what he's chayev, and he's not chayev for a tashlum. So let's take a look at the Mishnah Amarava. Look, what is the idea of the machteret telling us? My time of the machteret. Because, I mean, we need to understand, if we know that a ganav is certainly not chayev misa, and over here we're giving him the din of a chiyav misa, then the additional point of a machteret must be meaningful. We have to understand, why is that meaningful? Because chazaka ein adam mamid atzmo mamono. The very fact that he has planned this out, he's put in an immense amount of effort to create a tunnel that will enable him to get through your basement wall and then get to your safe. Okay, people don't put in that kind of work if they are not ready to actually do whatever needs to be done from their point of view to make this plan work. So if you are a target of opportunity, you left a door open, you left the keys in the car, okay, over there, the guy takes advantage of an opportunity. If you suddenly appear, he runs out of the door. But in this kind of case, if you suddenly appear when he's trying to burglarize your safe, he's not going to run out and throw away a year work on his tunnel. If he came in, he came in to get that safe. And if you're going to try to get in his way, he will have no choice in his mind but to murder you. So therefore, since it's a chazaka in adam ma'amidat v'ala mamono, he knows, and we know, that people find it very difficult to sit around and to allow someone to burglarize his money He's going to try to stop you, even though that may not be too bright. He's going to try to stop you. And you know, as the burglar, you know that. And therefore, Hai Neymar Amar, that means that this burglar has made up his mind that I Azilna and Koi La Pavlo Shavikli. Look, if I get in there after all this work and I manage to break through and this guy is trying to stop me, he Koi La Poi, if he's actually going to stand in front of me and attempt to physically prevent me, I will have no choice. I will have to kill him, and I'm ready to do that. Katlina Le. So therefore, HaTorah Amra, this is an extension of the halacha, of Haba Im Ba Lahorgecha, Hashkem Lahorgo. If somebody is coming to kill you, you kill him first. Now, this is really a remarkable kind of thing, because, I mean, the Torah could tell you, listen here, jerk, instead of getting yourself killed and getting this guy killed, why don't you just learn to give up on your money and run out of the house? But instead, we say, no, this is a given. It's a chazaka. Ein adam ma'amidat zmo ha'mamono. So taking into consideration, again, the likelihoods, the statistical probabilities in terms of what's going to happen, we treat this person as if he's a rodef. Now, Lemaisa, there's a big machlokas between the poskim about whether he really has a din of a rodef in the sense that you're mechuyev to kill him. Because, I mean, if somebody's rodef lorgecha, so then it's a mitzvah to kill him and a mitzvah for anyone else to kill him, as the Rambam brings it. Or this is an interesting specific application in which the Torah is giving you rishus, not to attempt being ma'amid atzmacha al momono. So, this has tremendous implications lahalacha. For instance, Reb Shlomo Zalman has a whole tshuva about whether, let's say, somebody breaks into the house and it's Shabbos, and what you could do is you could call the police, turn on an alarm, turn on the lights, be mechalal Shabbos, in order to get that guy out of the house. Are you allowed to be mechalal Shabbos? Are you mechuyev to close the door, run out the window, and let the guy rob you? So lechor, if you're allowed to murder him, then he tainas ritual mezama, you would be allowed to be mechalal Shabbos. We're going to see the very interesting relationship between the chiyuv of Misa in Bezdin on Shabbos and the issue of being mechalal Shabbos here by murdering the guy. But as you can see, it's not at all simple to say that this is a typical case of rodef. We obviously need this new chiddush of the Baba Machteret in order to be able to teach us this chiddushim of an expanded concept of Nidon al Shem Sofo, which I think deserves to really be a Gavi concept. Ori, maybe you want to start writing now. I don't know whether Dad has made this so much on your head or whether you're going to be allowed to maintain a little bit of innocence just for a little. I know the boost has boosted your intelligence and so on, but let's give it an opportunity. Go ahead, Gav. How about you writing it down? Nidon al Shem Sofo. Okay.
The trajectory of his life. What is the trajectory of this life? So, I think that was the difference from Yeshivael, that right now, the Sher Misham, he's not on the trajectory to be evil, even though they know that's going to happen. Whereas the E, Al Shem Sofo, is on that trajectory. If I understood my note of the previous rabbi, I won't.
That guy sounds pretty intelligent. I wish somebody would introduce me to him. The only one I know is a jerk. But anyway, if you got a chance, let me meet him. So, always appreciate those Barnea notes. Okay, Omar Rav. Hababa Machteret v'natal kelim v'yatzah. This is a fascinating question. In this case, the Baba Machteret goes out of your house with your TV. Now, does he have to give your TV back to you? Or do we say, since when he stole your TV, he was actually Chayav Misa, in a way, because anybody could kill him, and Ein Lo Damim, so he wouldn't even have to give your TV back to you. It was a tremendous chiddush. Because why do I say that? My timer, he bought the TV with his own blood. And blood has a double meaning in Hebrew. Damim means blood, and it means cash, right? And as we've pointed out many times, there's a very profound reason for that. And, you know, we won't get into it here, but it's quite clear that there are only two things that are totally generic in the sense of interchangeability, and that is cash and blood. Cash is everything in the world. And blood, in terms of the rest of your body, is absolutely unique. Well, you could even take a transfusion from somebody. That's nuts. How's that possible? The thing that is the most complex and long-term investment of evolution, which is to make certain that your cells are marked in such a way that there is no way of getting your cells confused with anybody else. The one thing you can actually do is the most important aspect of all, getting the yam within you to be generic. That's absolutely crazy. But in any event, it's what we mean when we use cash, right? So the Mishnah is using a very beautiful play on words. He bought it with his cash, meaning with his own blood. So since the Ein Lo Damim, he now owns your TV. How do you like that? Omar Rava, wait a minute. What Rav just said doesn't make sense. I mean, yeah, it would make sense if he broke your TV, okay? So if he broke your TV, he doesn't have to pay for it. But that's because of Kimle Ben Rabamine. But if he has your TV, why wouldn't he have to return your TV? I mean, that's not the same thing. That's not a punishment. He is in possession of your money. Why in the world is he allowed to keep your money in claiming that he's paid for it in blood? I don't get that at all. He still has a chiyuv to give it back, but that's what I would have said. But I swear to God, Rav meant exactly what he said. Ve'Elohim amar Rav afilu natal. He really meant what he said. And why does that make sense? He must be thinking like this, Rav, that the hayesh lo damim v'nen su. Let's talk about the case that we had in the Mishnah. We said, if yesh lo damim, now there are cases where you're not allowed to kill a baba machteret. So, for instance, the classic case that we talk about later on is where a father is breaking into his rich son's house, and the son doesn't want to share any of the money. The father decides he's going to rob the son. We don't believe that it's normal for a father to be ready to shoot his son. And therefore, in that case, yesh lo damim. And of course, there are cases like that. So, if that would be the event, it says in the Mishnah that if he breaks the TV, so in that case, he is chayev for breaking the TV. Now, that means that they must have become his. Alma b'rishusei koi, kaimei. So they're basically his, the same way as Shoel, it would become his. And therefore, if in this case you were allowed to kill him, it still became his, even though you didn't kill him. And that would mean that if you give him back the TV, that you're paying him for stealing the TV, but you're not mechuyev to pay him, because paying is essentially a din in a case where only the payment is what you're going to suffer and not the loss of your life. So that's what Rav must mean. You don't have to give the TV back because he was in a position where he might have lost his life, and therefore he doesn't have to compensate you. So this is compensation. But this makes no sense to me. What kind of logic is that? Ki ukim na rachmana b'rishusei l'inyin onasim. I mean, look, what are we saying? We're saying that a ganav, a regular ganav, a ganav is chayev, even on onasim. That's my logic, right? So somebody steals something from you, and it breaks because it's hit by lightning. So now the guy comes to court when they try to recover your BMW, you know, and it's a complete burnt-out Hulk. He says, well, this is not my fault. It's a burnt-out Hulk. I mean, he could have been struck by lightning by you, too. What does that have to do with me? I'm not chayev, but the halacha is that the ganav is chayev to replace his BMW, right? Why? He didn't do anything. The point is that at the stage where it was in his reshus because of the geneva, the Torah essentially treats him the same way that it treats a borrower. A borrower sits there as the new owner, so long as it's in his reshus. So the Torah says, okay, you took it, you pay for it. like they say in the stores, you know, you picked it up, you pay for the breakage. All right, so if that's the case, that would be only true that the Torah is saying responsibility is upon you as if you were the owner. But doesn't make you the owner, for heaven's sakes. I mean, would you be able to give it to Hegdash? And you would say, this is mine, so I'm giving it to Hegdash, and now Hegdash is chal on it? Could you use it to be Mekadesh as a Isha? You say, here, Areat Mekudeshet Li with this BMW if you don't own it? I mean, so what does that have to do with the issue of returning it to him? Of course, you'd have to return it to him. It isn't yours, for heaven's sakes. This is the way I look it. Avala Inyan Mikna, in terms of who owns it, well, the owner owns it. Birsha Zidamariah Kaime. I mean, how you were Kona it? Look, let's take a look at the Shoel, all right? The Shoel obviously doesn't own it. Isn't the whole point of a Shoel? You borrowed something. Who owns it? The owner owns it. So you'd have to, of course, you'd have to give it back. You can't be Makdash it. You can't use it to be Makdash as a Isha. Nonetheless, are you Chayev in anything that happens to it, including a lightning strike? Yes. No. So it's the same thing. What kind of logic is there in what Rav was saying? I don't get it. And what's more, the Mishnah seems to prove that Rava is right. Because look what it says in the Mishnah. Take that case. Baba Machtar v'shiberet ha-chavit. You broke a TV as you're burglaring this house. So then, if yesh lo damim, if you're not one of those burglars who is meant to be killed, so then you'd be responsible for breaking the TV. But if ein lo damim, if, in fact, you were one of those that is assumed to be a incipient murderer, so then you don't have to pay for the broken TV. Now, look, the only case that the Mishnah gives us of this distinction is where you broke the TV, right? Taima de Shiber. It's only because you broke the TV. If the Torah wanted, the Mishnah wanted to teach us over here that Rav was right, why would it say a case where you broke the TV? It should have said, if you took the TV. I mean, that would be an incredible chiddush. You took the TV, and I'm a chuyav to return it. So it's dafka because she bears. It's because you broke his TV. There, you don't have to replace it because you're not liable for breakage when you're going to be killed. But if you just walked out with his TV, of course, you'd have to give it back. So you see, I'm right. Because if Rav was right, then that's what the Mishnah should have said. Not necessarily, says the Gemara. I mean, hu adin dafilu natal nami. Could be that the halacha would be the same, even in the event that you walked out the TV. The reason that it uses the case specifically where you broke the TV is to tell me that in the other case, where yesh lo damim, where we do not assume that you're an incipient murderer, like the case of the father breaking into the son's home, that in that case, the halacha would be that you would be mechuyev even on shvira. So in other words, it's the other way around. But we thought that the reason the raya against Rav was that we're assuming the Mishnah wanted to tell us that only in the case of shvira would you actually be putter in the event that ein lo dami. Now we're saying, no, just the opposite. It's in even in the case of Shvira, we were saying that you would be chayev in the event that it was yesh lo dami. So obviously, if I would have taken the case that the TV is in your rishus, so I would have read the Mishnah and I would have said, oh, the reason the Mishnah said if you took the TV, you have to give it back is because the TV is extant and it belongs to the other guy. But apparently, it means to teach me that if I broke the TV, I would not be chayev, even if I were a yesh lo damim baba machter, which is not true. Therefore, the Mishnah took the opposite approach to make certain that the halacha, as stated, would be applicable in the case of the yesh lo damim. You still have to pay for it. I don't understand. What do you mean? The Mishnah has to teach us that? Any two-year-old knows that. You broke something, you pay for it. For God's sakes, it's pshita, isn't it? Why would I think you'd only have to return the TV, but you don't have to break it? A person who breaks something is responsible. If there's no extenuating circumstances over here, of Kamle B'Rab, I mean, here's it. Why the heck would I think you don't have to pay for the TV? That's a silly thing to say that the Mishnah is teaching us something that is obvious. No, it's not obvious, because it's teaching us that even if he had no idea that the TV was on the other side of the wall that he was drilling through, that he was going to drill through that screen, my God, what crazy burglar would destroy that guy's 70-inch TV? You nuts? He'd rather take it. Ah, come on. That's not a Kiddush. That's a Beferish Mishnah Baba Kama. Adam Mu'ad La'olam. Right? That's what it's teaching us, Tanina. What, you don't know the Mishnah? Adam Mu'ad La'olam. Bein B'shogeg, Bein B'mezid, Bein B'ones, Bein B'ratzon. A person is viewed as knowing precisely what he's doing, whether he does or not. He's treated in exactly the same way. That's part of the responsibilities of being a human, okay? So what, we need another Mishnah to tell me that if a human drills through a TV, that he's chayef for drilling through a TV? That's crazy. So that can't be true. So then the original way that we understood it must be true. That the whole point of the Mishnah saying this case is because this is the only case where you would be putter, where you broke it and you were chayev to be killed, so to speak. But had you walked out with it, despite the fact that that's how you got it, you'd still have to return it because it belongs to the other guy. So that's against what Rav says. So I'm telling you, says Rav, and the Mishnah actually proves my point. Yeah, well, I don't know. That sounds pretty bad for Rav. It's kasha. It's true. It definitely does seem that it ought to be the other way. Okay, I mean, it's not absolutely impossible to explain the Mishnah, but it's pretty far-fetched. Bosiv Rabbi Barabaye. Now, we're going to actually attack Rava. We tried to prove Rava from the Mishnah. We weren't able to. Now we've got a Braita that seems to say the opposite of Rava. Remember that Rava holds that as long as the thing that you walked out with as a Baba Machteret is extant, you'd still have to give it back, even if you were a Nodamim type of Baba Machteret. So take a look at this, Bright. We've had this case many times. Somebody steals money on Shabbat, and he takes it out of the Rishus HaYochid of the victim, and he brings it into the Rishus HaRabim, and at that point, he was Chayev Benafsho because of Chilul Shabbos, right? But that's irrelevant. He would still have to pay for stealing the money, because at the time that he picked up that money, he wasn't being Mechalel Shabbos. He's only going to be Mechalel Shabbos when he crosses the line between the Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim. And he's Meniach it in Rishus HaRabim. But by that point, he was already Chayev for the Geneva. Whether that's a second before or 100 years before is exactly the same. The Chilul Shabbat is irrelevant to the Geneva. So for there, Hareini Chayev B'Geneva, Kodem Shevo L'Idei Isur Shabbat. Obviously, he was responsible as soon as he picked it up, and not when he was Mechalel Shabbos later. But suppose he never picked it up. And this guy is a big Talmud Chacham, and if he's going to steal, you know, he doesn't want to be Chayev if they catch him. He wants to be Mechalel Shabbos and be Potter. So therefore, he doesn't pick it up. He actually drags it out of the other guy's house so that he was never kena it by picking it up. And at that point, when does it become his? Only when he is kena it. And he was kena it by putting his hand under it as he pulls it into Rishus HaRabim. So then he would be potter, because then you have the simultaneous occurrence of the Isser Geneva and the Isser Skila. They're boin ke'achad. And if they're boin ke'achad, then it's like a classic case of kimlei b'raba mine. Okay, now, that means that what? That you're potter from giving it back. Well, that's what Rav said. It's against what Rava said. Yeah, but, you know, that's not. I mean, it might mean that the whole bright is only being applied hilchata de shadano benahara. The case is over here that is referring to where the ganav hears the sirens in the background and he throws it into the river to save him. And therefore, it's no longer extant, but maybe enochinami. Maybe if it were extant, the halacha would be like Rava. He'd have to give it back. Now, what happened is fascinatingly, you better watch out when you get into these kind of arguments, because you never know what you may be called upon in real life. And what happened is that Rava was broken into by a Baba Machteret. Can you imagine? They broke into his yard and they stole a bunch of these valuables, Dichri, rams, and they took it through the Machteret. And then when the Ganav realized, oh my gosh, these are Rav's rams are not just regular rams, you know. So he comes and he tells Rav, look, I'm really sorry. I stole all of these Dichrim. I want to give it back to you. Rava. So Rava, Lashitato, he should accept it from the Ganav, right? But Rava said, I'm not going to accept those rams. Because since Rav said that you don't have to give it back, in honor of Rav's psak, I'm not going to go against Rav's psak. And therefore, Hoyel v'nafek mipume de Rav, it came out of Rav's mouth, I don't go against something that came out of Rav's mouth. So this is a classic case. Tana Rabbana, let's take a look at the meaning of the damim, or yesh lo damim, or ein lo damim. So the Braita says, you know, what you have to do is you have to look at those two psukim and put them together. So the two psukim, we said that before, we said the first pasuk that we just learned when we heard the Kriyas HaTerah, im b'machteret yimatze haganav u'kav ha-meit, ein lo damim. But you forgot the next pasuk. The next pasuk is, im zarcha ha-shemesh alav, if the sun shine, then damim lo. Then he actually would be considered to be protected, his life is protected, and therefore, shalem yeshalem, he should pay. Okay, now I say, says the Tanakhama of this Braita, that the two psukim are not meant to be parsed the way you just parsed them. As a matter of fact, you should put in the sun shines in with the first case, and it should be, ima machter yimatzei aganav v'ukav amet, ein lo damim im zarcha ha-shemesh alav. What? Yeah, because look, what does it mean? If the sun shines on him. Now, how does the sun only shine on him? I mean, come on. V'chi ha-shemesh alav bilvad zarcha. What do you mean if the sun shines upon him? Therefore, what it must mean is that im boru lecha davar ka-shemesh she'ein lo shalom imach. What this means is, ein lo damim, if it's as clear as day. That's what it means. In other words, you cannot rely on just simple statistical psychology. You have to know that this guy is on a murderous path, and he's exactly the type of person that is going to kill you. So then, and only then, ein lo damim. Ein lo damim, if zarcha ha-shemesh alav. That's what it means. So if Barulach Adavar Kashemesh, oh my God, this in Hebrew we actually use this. It's as clear as day, we say Barul Kashemesh, right? So if it's Barul Kashemesh, that's based on the Pasuk. Everybody knows that way of expressing things are clear. So that's this Tana. Im Barul Kashemesh, that this guy is ready to murder you, Ein Lo Shalom Imach, then you can kill him. But only then you can kill him. Im Lav, Alta Argeu. But the other Braita says exactly the opposite. Tanya Idach, no, the parsing was correct the first way you read it, and the second pasuk is meant to be read, if it's clear as day to you that he is not going to hurt you, then damim lo, that's how to read it. So I would say the same drasha. Im zarcha alav hashemesh, hashemesh alav, damim lo. Now I asked the same question the other Braita asked, but I come to the opposite conclusion. Namely, what do you mean if the sun shined on him? The sun shines on everybody. So if he ha-shemesh alav tzarcha, ela, im borulach ha-kishemesh yesh lo shalom imach, al targeo. Only if it's 100% clear to you that this guy is not going to be killing you, then don't kill him. But if you're not sure, then kill him. Im lav hargeo. So how do we explain that? I mean, one Braita says you have to be clear that he is going to kill you. And the other Braita said, you have to be clear that he's not going to kill you. How do we square those two Braitot? Well, Lokasha. What we're talking about is assumptions? What would be the proper initial assumption? And that is a question of what the case is. And therefore, it would be totally different if this person who's breaking into the house is your father. So Kanba Avalabain, so the first Braita says you absolutely must be sure that he is going to kill you. Because if it's your father, then it's reasonable to assume that he has no intention of murdering you. Mashain Cain, in the second Braita, it's talking about a son who is breaking into his father's house. And in that case, it's telling you, don't trust your kid for nothing. And therefore, you have to assume that he is ready to kill you. A word of caution for parents. They look innocent now. You hear that, Gavi? They may look innocent now. Don't give too much boost. Omar Rav, I can tell you one thing. Anybody that would try to break into my house, I will murder him, except for one person. And that is Levarmi Rav Chanina Bar Shila. I would not kill Rav Chanina Bar Shila. And I'll tell you why. You think it's because he's such a tzaddik? Ha! If he were such a tzaddik, he wouldn't be breaking into my house now, would he? So that would definitely prove that that's not a good reason not to kill him. I'll tell you why I won't kill him. Because I know how much he loves me, and I trust him. So he loves me the same way the Torah says a father on a son, I'm sure he wouldn't kill me. I know he wouldn't kill me. So that's the one guy that I'm sure and trust his love. Tan Rabbanan. So one pasuk says, damim lo. Now, when it says over here, and we said that's talking about the father, and he's trying to tunnel into his son's house, and it says over there, damim. He's got blood. Damim is Lashon Rabbi, right? So plural blood. So what does that mean? Bein b'chol, bein b'shabbat. So it's obviously talking about two cases. Dam, whether it's Shabbos, or dam, whether it's a weekday. Okay, we'll have to see what that means. And in the first pasuk, where it says ein lo damim, it also means bein b'chol, bein b'shabbat. And why would there be a difference? Well, I understand why I need a pasuk to say, ein lo damim, you can murder him, whether it's Shabbos or whether it's a weekday. Why? Because, look, if somebody is chayev misa in Bezdin, now we've been comparing the cases, right? We've been saying that this is a case of kimle b'derab mineh. Kimle b'derab mineh means that if a court is going to be able to give a chayev of misa to someone, so they don't impose a chayev of tashlumin, right? Okay, so, I mean, the same comparison should hold, maybe. If Bezdin had someone that was chayev misa, are they allowed to kill him on Shabbos? No. We learned that out from the Moshavot, right? Or Moshavotech. You're not allowed to be Mekayim Achiev of Misa in Bezdin on Shabbos. So if this concept of Domim or Eino Domim is similar to the Achiev of Misa, as we've been talking about it in terms of Kimle ben Rabbi Minei, so I might have thought that Miradavi Haruge Bezdin. Since when it comes to Bezdin, Mishabbat Lo Katlina, therefore the Torah has to tell us that over here, Kamash Maran to Katlina. But why do I need a pasuk to tell me that this guy cannot be killed, whether it's Shabbos or whether it's the weekday? I mean, obviously, if you can't kill a father or someone who would love you with that extent, like Rav just explained, you can't kill him. Bechol, so on Shabbos, I would think that you could kill him. I just showed you that on Shabbos, there's much less of a chance. So why would I need to have the pasuk in that direction? Makes no sense. Omer Sheshes, no. What it's coming to tell you is that not only are you not allowed to kill the person in whose love you can trust, but if the tunnel collapsed on him and you would need to bring in a bulldozer to rescue him, you would be Michalo Shabbos in order to rescue him. That's what it's coming to say. So Lo Nitzcha Ela Lefakeach Alav Tagal. Not only can't you kill him, you have to save him. Tana Rabbana. So it says, Vuhuka vamet ein lo damim. What do you mean, Vuhuka? I mean, what is this, a BBC report? You know, and he was killed. What do you mean, and he was killed? You mean, and you murdered him? I mean, what is this? So why does it say it passively? And he was killed. You know, it was just amazing. You know, I mean, somebody blew up his car and tore him to pieces and so on. But as the BBC makes it very clear, he was unfortunately died. Thank you. So must mean to teach me to treat him like the BBC, which would mean that this is actually, you look at it as a generic death, which means anybody who kills him, not only the victim. You might have thought that this is a question between the victim and the tunneler, right? Okay, so the victim, he makes the determination. Am I going to let this guy get away with murder, or am I going to murder him? That's the question. But, I mean, you're just an onlooker, and the Torah didn't give you permission to make any determinations. That's what you might have thought. Because, as we pointed out earlier, this is not a standard case of a road dave, where you have an absolute chi of any standard by. Is mechuyev to save the nirdaf benafshel shel rodef, right? But that doesn't apply over here, I would have thought. Kamash malan vuhuka v'meit, that this is anybody, b'chol adam. And then when it says, and he died, which is mashma, doesn't matter how he died. You shot him, you stoned him, you blew him up. B'chol mita shata yechol lahamito, this is not similar to the Arba Mises Besden, you'd kill the guy anyway you could kill him. Now, I understand why I need the first pasuk of the passive tone in Vuhuka. Yes, that teaches me that anybody could kill him, because I might have thought, Sagadai Chamina, it's only the Baal Habayit. He's the one, the Kim Luhu De'ina Demamid Atzmo Amamono. I mean, basically, the whole psychological and statistical analysis we're doing over here is based on the fact that the victim is not going to let this guy get away with what in his mind he calls murder, which is taking away my TV. That is Ki'ilu Horgo. I think he says that somewhere, right? Mishel Akachet HaTV, Ki'ilu Horgo. Something like that. Anyway, so that guy is the one who makes that determination, and maybe, therefore, it's really between the burglar and his victim. But somebody else, I mean, he's not the one that is going to, you know, make a stand against this person stealing a TV. So maybe only the person who would make the stand can make the stand, but not a guy who couldn't make the stand. He can't make the stand. Therefore, I need this vuhuka to put the case of Ababa Machteret into the category of a rodef, in which even someone else would be allowed to kill him. Afilo Acher Nami. But I don't understand this other drasha, that you can kill him however you're able to kill him. Mate, and you told me, well, that teaches me, well, I mean, the only reason for my requiring, like, the Shabbos and the whole thing, right, was because of the way that I compared it to Besden. Well, I mean, obviously I can kill him any way that I can kill him, because Besden would be allowed to kill him. Remember we had that case that a person was Chayav Misa in Besden, and he jumps into the car, and he starts driving away before they could stop him. So we learned over there, he's allowed to be shot by the Besden, or call in a drone strike, or whatever. You could do whatever you want. As a matter of fact, all of those beautiful 007 movies, they were all based on this pasuk, that you're supposed to kill him any way you can kill him. I mean, that gets very exciting. But the point is that in this case, I should not need to teach me that the individual could kill him anyway, because why not? Besden can kill him anyway. So normally, mirotzeach lafka. Remember we had the braita? Mot yumat hamake rotzeachu. Why does it say mot yumat? Because eimi ela bimita amurabo. You might think that you're only allowed to kill him with sayef, because that's the misa that the Torah prescribes for a rotzeach. Minayin she'im iata yachola hamito b'mita k'tuvabo sh'ata reshay lamito b'chol mita sh'ata yachola hamito. Talmud lomar, mot yumat mikol makom. So the double lashon is just get this guy killed, whatever it takes. So if that's the case, the presumed murderer should be the same. If Besden could kill him anyway, why couldn't I kill him anyway? Yeah, but there he's convicted. I mean, there it says specifically, mot yumat. I understand that. Obviously, I'm asking you that we should be able to vive enigmamine. We should be able to learn out the din of the incipient murderer from the convicted murderer, because we've been treating it that way all along. That was my question. What are you giving me this childish answer for? No, because, look, you're not taking one thing into consideration. Any derivation in the Torah is only properly assumed where it follows the rules for derivations. Now, there's one very important rule for derivations, which is Shnei Ketuvim Habayim Ke'echad Ein Melamdim. You cannot derive something from a case where the principle that you're attempting to derive is mentioned twice in the Torah. Because if it were a proper derivation, then why would I need to mention it twice? I would always have derived it from the model. So apparently, by repeating it in two different circumstances, the Torah is telling you, no, it is not a model. And therefore, don't derive from it, only where it's specifically applied in the Torah. Well, that's exactly the situation we have over here. Because a rotzeach and a goel hadam are two places where the Torah told you exactly the same thing, that you're supposed to get rid of the guy, whatever it takes. And remember, we learned before that in the event that somebody doesn't have a relative to be the Goel Adam, then the Beis Din is supposed to give someone else the, I hereby dub the Goel Adam, and that he is supposed to somehow or another get rid of this guy. So that means if you don't have the ability to kill that person, which is normally the Goel Adam, as it says in the Pasuk, Hu Yemisenu. So then you see to it that we do it some other way, by pretending that he's a Goel Adam. Okay, so that means that we have two different cases of this idea of get rid of him however you can get rid of him. So therefore, I would not be able to learn out from either of those cases, and now I need specifically an extra Pasuk to tell me that it's the Vuka Vameit Bechol Mita Shatayachol, because Kol Shnei Ketuvim Habayim Ke'echad Ein Melamdim. Now, let's take a look again a little bit more. I mean, tunnels. Does it really mean only tunnels? Or are we talking about a more general idea? Is there something magic about a tunnel? So, Torah Rabbanan, Machteret. So, okay, you would think that the Torah is making a specific case for, like, how coming through a tunnel implies greater danger than any other case. I mean, does it necessarily mean that he's making a machteret in order to get into the guy's house? What if he needs to get a ladder or a bridge built into the guy's attic, you know, and he's ready to go through the roof in order to get to this guy's house? I don't know. Maybe he went through a roof. Or maybe he actually walked in by tunneling into his backyard or his front yard. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe he went through a door. Talmud Lomar, Yimatse Harganav. Why would it say Yimatse Harganav? That you found him there? So that means, however it is that you found him, Mikom Markom. Oh, come on, that makes no sense. Then why would the Torah make such a big fuss about the way that this guy was tunneling in? I mean, if you're telling me, no matter what, you know. So then why would we talk about machteret? No, that's because rov ganavim b'mtsuyin b'machteret. We're talking about, somebody who's a real professional ganav, he is going to get in that house without anybody knowing about it. Now, another bride says, no, that's not the point. But rather, Tanya Idach, the other bride says, why does it say machteret? You would think it's only machteret. How do I know gago chatzeru karfefo minayin? Talmud lomar yimatzei haganav mikom makom. So far, it's precisely the original braita. But here it says, so im kein ma talmud lomar machteret. So then why do we specify machteret? Because machterto zohi hatra'ato. The whole idea that we can actually act on this guy without any kind of hatra'ah. Normally, we would have to give hatra'ah, right? So if you're not coming in through a machteret, and you are a burglar of opportunity, so you'd say, okay, in that case, you didn't put anything much into this, Therefore, you are not allowed to assume that the guy is coming to kill you, because he needs hatra'ah the same way anybody, in order to be mechayev him, misa, needs hatra'ah. He needs to clarify his intentions. And remember that hatra'ah means that he makes it clear that I am set out on this course to do it. He has to say, I hear what you're saying, and this is what I intend to do. In that kind of case, of course you would need to give him hatra'ah. You need to tell him, listen, you may think you're going to get away with this. I have a gun and I'm going to kill you. I'm warning you right now. So then the guy would have to say, well, I'm aware of that fact. I'm armed as well. Okay, so then he becomes the equivalent of a Baba Machteret. But it's only where we know the extent of his commitment because of the Machteret that you would not need hatra'ah. Omer Avuna, if a katan, that's an interesting thing. So this is a 12-year-old kid, and he is chasing someone to murder him. Nitan latzilo benafsho. You can kill that child because you don't have to warn him. If you needed to warn him, you can't warn him, because a katan cannot be warned. Why? Because he doesn't have the brains to understand the warning, so to speak. Remember that da'at means that you're able to apply a concept to a concrete situation and connect to it. A child never connects. So for him to say, I know, doesn't mean anything. You don't know anything. You think you know, theoretically, externally, but you're not capable of responding totally to something that you think you know. So if you would need hatra'ah, then ipso facto, you would never be able to kill a minor, because you can't give him hatra'ah. That's the beautiful point. So if Ravuna says that you can shoot the minor, so it must be because he holds that you do not need hatra'ah. So Rasova rodef eino tzarich hatra'ah, and it makes no difference how old he is, because why should it? The point over here is to save the victim, not to worry about the criminal. So lo shno gadol, velo shno katan. If the point is saving the victim, it doesn't matter if the rodef is a child. But wait a minute, that's not true. No, no. I'll give you a classic case of a child. And this is not only a child. This is a one-day-old infant. So if a one-day-old infant is attempting to murder you, you are not allowed to kill him. What? Yes. Imagine a case where a woman is in danger of losing her life in childbirth. Now, we could easily avoid this woman losing her life by simply chopping up the fetus. And then there's no problem in getting the pieces out. Veterinarians do this all the time. Why not gynecologists or obstetricians? Now, here the halacha is that if that child has already been born, so what does that mean? The head has already gone out of the cervix. And once that's the case, then the child is considered to be born. You cannot chop up the child. But why? He's killing the mother. So here is a minor attempting to murder his mother, and we say, you're not allowed to save the mother by killing the minor. This is a classic case. So how do you differentiate between that case and between the case that we just said in Ravuna? Esvei Rafisto, Ravuna is brilliant, right? So what about the Mishnah that says, and we had this Mishnah in Ayales, remember, that once Yatsarosha, once the head is already exited beyond the cervix, Ein Noginbo, you cannot touch that baby in order to save the mother. Lefisha Ein Dochin Nefesh Mipnei Nefesh. We're not going to kill one individual in order to save another individual. But why? The minor here, the infant, is a rodef. He's trying to kill the mother. Now, he doesn't need hatra'ah, so it doesn't matter whether he wants to do that or doesn't want to do that. The principle that we're talking about is the ability to save one person from, who is the victim, from the murderer, whether the murderer intends to murder or not. So if this is the case, why don't we chop up the child and save the mother's life because we're unable to deliver the rest of the baby? answers the Gemara, this is not the same. It's not the same. Because in this case, we're dealing with something that is just part of the way nature works. And therefore, we consider this to be God is after the mother. Because, as the Rambam puts it, Zehu tiv'o shel olam. This is the way the world has been set up to work in terms of human reproduction. Now, it's true, it's not a great system, but it's the best we've got. And so if you want to have these big-brained humans, you have to take risks at childbirth. But that's part of the teva, as the Rambam puts it. Tiv'o shel olam. So, therefore, we look at it as if God is after the mother, not as if the child is after the mother. So anything which is tivo shel olam, it's much less than eno miskaven. It's basically being used by God against the mother. And there, we never see that. There's a din of a roidev. So you cannot ask Akasha on Ravuna from this case, of course. But we could actually prove Ravuna that you do not need hatra'ah, and therefore a katan could be killed as a rodev, from the braisa that says, name of Messiah, rodev shaya rodev acharcha ve'ro lo horgo. If somebody is chasing you, trying to kill you, you should tell the rodev, if you're somebody else and you're on the outside, tell the rodev, hey, the person that you're chasing over here is a Yisrael, and he's a Ben Brit. He's not. Well, you think you're chasing a Hamasnik, and you think you're chasing some apikores that's organizing these demonstrations to get other people killed? No, you're not allowed to kill him. A Torah amra shofech dama adam ba adam damo yishofech. The Torah says that the person who's trying to kill somebody else, I'm going to save his life and I'm going to kill you. Amra Torah tzel damo shazeh bedamo shazeh. So you better understand, I'm armed and I'm going to shoot you. So, okay. So you are supposed to be saying in response to that, because remember we had before, how do you give hatra'ah? The person has to be in the kabel hatra'ah. And he has to say, I'm well aware of that fact, and I'm going to be doing this anyway, right? That's called Kabbalat Hatra'ah. Does it say anything over here about the Rodef needing to be Mekayim the Hatra'ah? No. So apparently you don't. I mean, it's not a legal Hatra'ah. It's just a message. So apparently you do not need to really give Hatra'ah. This doesn't prove anything. But so why do you think you're giving him this whole message, for heaven's sakes? This is clearly going like Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda Shita about Hatra'ah. Remember, we've had many times before. D'tanya Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Chaver ein tzarich Hatra'ah. If someone is a learned person and he knows the Torah, you don't have to give him a Hatra'ah. Why? Because the point of a Hatra'ah is not to define his full awareness at the moment that it's not the issue. It's simply to know the difference between someone who knows that what he's doing is wrong or he doesn't know what he's doing is wrong. That's all. The chaver knows perfectly well that what he's doing is wrong. So in this case, all you need to do is to let the guy know that the person that he is chasing is a Ben Yisrael and he's someone who's a Ben Brit. That's all. That way you know that he knows what he's doing. The question that he has to say, well, I intend to do it anyway, is irrelevant according to the whole sheet of Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Tashma, I got a braisa that shows you don't need to give asra. It says like this, Rodev shayo rodev achachavir lohorgo. Omer lo, re'ei sheyisraelu, uven britu. And the Torah says, shofech dama adam adam damo yishafech, and I'm going to kill you, and so on. Now, this braita says exactly the opposite. This braita says, if the rodev says, I know, he's still potter, because that's not called hatra'ah. He has to say, yes, indeed, and that's exactly why I'm going to do this. I dare you to try to shoot me. I always walk along the edge, buddy. I don't know who you think you're talking to, but you try to knock me off before I get him knocked off. All right, only in that case is he chayev, because that is called a legal acceptance of a hatra, and therefore the hatra is a meaningful hatra. Ah, okay, now that shows that Ravuna is wrong, because over here it says you have to give him a real hatra. No, that's talking about the case where the one who's giving the hatra'ah cannot shoot him. He's on one side of the river. The other guy's on the other side of the river. This person has no way of stopping him. And the one who's chasing knows that he has no way of stopping him. So therefore, what's left for this guy to do? All he can do is be a witness in court against him. But in order to be a witness in court, there we're talking about a regular case of murder. And there you do need hatra'ah. That's not the case of the hatra'ah of a rodeif. That's the case of hatra'ah of a murderer. So tzricha, the case over here was talking about the koi betray avrei denahara. They're on two opposite sides of riverbanks. Velo matzu tzula. He has no way to actually kill him. All he can do is drag him into court. So ma'ika, what's left for the guy to do? All he can do is depoye to levedina. They can bring him to court. All right, so you could be telling the person, listen, I'm going to bring you to court. All right, go ahead. I dare you. In that case, you need a real hatra'ah, because a bedina is boy hatra'ah. Or, I can give you another answer, you know what? Omelech HaRavuna, Ravuna could say to you that the braita has nothing to do with me, because I was going according to the braita, that first braita, where we said, somebody who is above a machtaret, that is his hatra'ah, because the very commitment to putting that kind of work into a burglary, that is the equivalent of a hatra'ah. Okay, so then that means that he holds you don't need a real hatra'ah. So then that would be the case, that normally you don't need a hatra'ah. That's who I go like. So what's your problem? You found somebody who doesn't hold that. Maybe it's not talking about Trey Avri Nahara. Nonetheless, I have a Tana that holds like me. Lovely. Okay, everybody, have a wonderful day. We hope to have Besurot Tovot, not of the kind that people are ready to settle for, but some serious Besurot Tovot, and that would be Nidon al-Shem Sofa. Kol Tov.